it's my expectation to be sharing today out of Isaiah 42 and the beginning of 43, and also 1 Corinthians 15. So if you want to stick your fingers and thumbs somewhere, stick them in there. You can follow along with me as I fall. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, it is my greatest desire to do your will. I've had enough of my will. I want your will for my life. And I believe that every single person in here today would say the very same thing. We're tired of playing religion. We want you, Lord. We want you. More of you, more of you. I've had it all. But what I need is more of you, of things. I've had my fill, yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I didn't have that on. It just popped into my head. You know, God's got a plan. God's got a perfect plan. He's a perfect God, and he has a perfect plan. And thank God we're part of that plan. But, you know, we cannot comprehend God's plan. We can try and we can try and we can try. And different people can have different opinions, but the Bible clearly states that eye has not seen, no matter what you've seen. Ear hasn't heard. If you've heard it, it could, it couldn't be, right? And it has never even entered into our minds the glorious things that God has planned for us. And if that is not cause for rejoicing evermore, and praying without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, even when it goes against our human instincts. You know, we owe every breath we take to our Father in heaven. It's amazing. I just hope that he puts this little... whatever it is that's on my mind, it's been on my mind, I can't seem to shake it, I just want to talk about it. I hope it comes out in the proper order and in a way that it's going to bless people who hear it. So I'm going to start, I think I'm going to start in with 1 Corinthians. The title of my sermon today is The Last Man, and the reason for that is, and I think I've changed my mind, I'm not going to start with 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start at the beginning of the Bible, I guess. The Last Man. God, the Lord said, let us make man in our image. And he has never deviated from that very first day. But when a woman has a baby, I think Joey and Kaya and all the women can attest to the fact that the baby doesn't come out with a beard and a mustache and, you know, a hat on his head and full grown and looking exactly like his daddy. He doesn't. He is in the image. God said, let us make man in our image, but it does not yet appear what he will be like. You know what I mean? There is growing. There is processing to be done. That growth is the thing that leads to maturity into a full-grown man. So when God said, let us make man in our image, and what did he do? He created man. Now, that was an instantaneous thing. He created it out of nothing. And in my mind, it means he plopped a hunk of clay on the ground and kind of formed it a little bit with it. And he said, ah, Adam. And Adam, and it says, the Bible says that he created Adam, a living soul. There's only one spirit, and that is the Spirit of God. I'm getting confused. He created Adam a living soul, but then the processing begins. And we do not come out in the exact image of God, our Father. We come out as a baby infant. And there's a lot of sorrow, and there's a lot of growth, and there's a lot of learning that needs to be done to achieve full manhood and to grow to the stature of Christ in us. So so the first man, Adam, was created a living soul. Now it says the second man, this is where we go to 1 Corinthians. It says, the body is sown, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. One man, a natural body, a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, and the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that means nevertheless, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So God put us here. He lowered us down, and he put us here to learn and to grow into the whole stature of Christ. This is the good one. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Now, this was God's will. This is the way he created God, created man. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There's two men in the earth. That's all. And I looked at that word man. Tell you what it's really, I didn't notice this until today. Hope I can get it back. In the King James, it says, when you see the word man with respect to Adam, it means Adam. Man, ruddy, a human being. Ah, the individual or the species, mankind. You see, he created, it's not just one Adam. We are not just one man. Mankind. He created mankind from the beginning, ruddy, a human being. Now listen to this, a hypocrite and another. That word, Adam, means another, really hit me. Because God said, I will not give my glory to another. So, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that is heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Okay. That kind of brings me back to Isaiah 42. We were reading this in Sunday school couple of weeks ago, and it so grabbed me. Let me just kind of go through chapter 42. verse 1. Behold, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. That is Isaiah speaking a prophecy from God. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment, which means justice, justice to the Gentiles. And here are some of the attributes of this spiritual person in whom God delights, and as people who follow after Jesus Christ and are learning the spirituality of becoming less Adam and more Christ, not only he's prophesying about Jesus, I think, this is my opinion, but it's also what we strive for every day of our life is to be like Jesus, because when we see him as he is, we will be like him. And the things that he has done, we will do these things and even greater. He tells us that. He says, here's one of his attributes. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's not going to be a grumbler or complainer or stand outside and say, nobody understands me. This one was not fair to me. The government this and the government that. He is going to be a man, a quiet man of a quiet disposition. Oh, and this is what I love. This is so beautiful. This is for us to try to become. A bruised reed he shall not break. How many bruised reeds do we come in contact with every day of our lives? People who have been mistreated, people who have been not loved, you know, people who have just been in the most awful ways, disregarded, put down, they've been cruel to, and they might show forth these traits in very unloving ways. But a bruised reed we should not break. You know, what would we do? Oh, put a little stint in there. Put a little, you know, if you were a gardener and your plant was falling over, you know, you'd do something to, you would never, never do anything to add to the hurt for any man. That's what his beloved does. That's what God's beloved did. And it says, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. Okay, now that made me think of like a candle. You know how a candle at the very last minute, it'll have just a little bit of fire left, you know? And it's not really a flame. It's getting ready to die. It's going to go out. Don't quench that thing. Give it some good news. Give it some encouragement. Give it whatever it needs to fire back up and become a flame again. We should never do anything to hurt or oppose a bruised person or someone whose zest for life is almost gone. You know, that's the way I see that. And then it says, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He will bring forth justice for all those. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set justice in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Then I want to go down a little bit more. Let's see, where was it we were talking about? Then he starts talking about who hears this and who sees this. And he says, hear ye deaf. This is in verse 18. And look ye blind that ye might see. who is blind but my servant? Oh, wait a minute. Is his servant blind? Sometimes we are. Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is deaf or my messenger that I sent? Or who is blind is he that is who is blind as he that is perfect? Oh, we think you're perfect, you're blind. And blind as the Lord's servant. Seeing many things, he's talking to us. Seeing many things, but thou observeth not. Opening the ears, but heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled, for they are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. Do you know anybody in a prison house? Do you know anybody that has to have two brand new cars every 3 years? Do you know anybody who their craving in life is to get a bigger house and a nicer landscape and a prettier wife and a, you know, they think they're free. They think they see. They think they're acquiring what is needed, and they're blind as bats, and they are imprisoned by their belongings. They would bruise a broken reed to get over it, to get into the car first, you know. For they are a prey, and none delivereth. They think they got it, but they're the prey. For a spoil, and none said, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Jacob, Israel, two guys, one guy. When we get, right now we're almost down to chapter 43, and I really want to get into that because this is interesting. Chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. They were the same guy. Now, he created him as Jacob. He created Abram as Abram. He created Adam as Adam. He created Sarai as Sarai. He created Simon as Simon. You see, there comes a time in your life where you have to have a meeting with your Lord God. And once you have that meeting with your Lord God, he changes your name. He changes your nature. He changes what you feed to grow. Where you start to realize that the houses and the cars and the kids with the best grades and, you know, the whole American way of life is not the most important thing. What is the most important thing? Having a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Hearing what he says, not being deaf. Seeing what he wants you to see, not being blind. Doing what he wants you to do. No more, no less. Saying what he wants you to say, nothing else. Becoming what he wants you to become and nothing else. So he says, so he created thee, O Jacob. Now there's no shame in being earthy when it's time for you to be earthy. And this is the way God created the human race. It's the whole race. Adam, earthy. And then it says, Now thus saith the Lord, he that I created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. He formed Israel. He turned Jacob into Israel by processing. He took time. The processing of the Lord. Remember that Bill Britton thing where he talked about the horses? You know how he comes as the to clean and purify the silver? It's not an easy job, but it's easier for the guy who's doing it than to be the hunk of silver that's getting boiled and having the tears taken off. And, you know, it's not an easy job, but it's something that God does to us for our own good so that we can become Israel, which means he shall serve as God, rather than Jacob, heel catcher. You know, when Jacob was fighting with the man who was the Lord God Almighty, he said, well, what's your name? He says, my name is Jacob. He said, oh, yeah, I know that. Heel catcher. Did you see the way that he treated Esau? It was not right. But he was created Jacob. So he did Jacob-y things, you know? Adam did Adam-y things. He said, fear not. He created Jacob. He formed Israel. And he says, fear not. You don't know what's going on. You don't understand the processing of the Lord. You don't understand what's happening to you because it's not given to you to do that. For I have redeemed thee. Oh, now that's good news. I've redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We are his. He is our father. We are his children. How beloved are we? We need to realize how beloved we are of our Father. We need to realize who we are in him. Not of us, but of him. The Spirit of the Lord is within us. The last Adam is the Lord from heaven. There's only two men in the earth. One is becoming the other. There will be only one. We will all be such a part of each other that we will understand the hurts. There'll be no more putting on false fronts, big old acting like a big shot. There's not going to be any of that. We are going to love our brothers and sisters with the true love of Christ. Lift them up, share, give. Because, you know, God will not share his glory with another. He won't share his glory with Adam. Let's see if there's a little more there that I want to read. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Since thou hast been precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. How long have we been precious in his sight? Since before the foundation of the earth. And the actions that we do, he has loved us through it all, always. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You know, when you get right down to it, what is there to worry about? I mean, what is there to be shameful about? We're growing, we're maturing, we are becoming all that the Father expects of us. Nothing can stop it. He has ordained it. You're coming. That's it. You can go easy or you can go hard, but you're coming. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's probably just about all that I've got. But when I was, before I even started thinking of anything, the Lord kind of put into my heart three sentences. He says, sing a new song. He said, walk a new way. He said, become a new man. And then I looked at Isaiah 42:10, and it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. That was before I knew this is what I wanted to speak about, but he said this to me before I even noticed that. Then he said, walk a new way. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. And then he said, become a new man. We shall all become that new man, that man that God was speaking of when he said, let us make man in our image. What a day. We're coming into it. It's becoming because God said it's becoming. And how is it coming? It's coming by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We have to walk by faith, knowing the love of God is spread apart, spread. Yeah, and so that's all I wanted to tell you today. Don't worry, be happy. You are the beloved of the Father. The voice of my beloved, lo, he comes. He's skipping over the hills. Yes, he's coming for us. And it is all, I mean, things, you can't even imagine the things that he's, the glorious things he's preparing for us. Amen. That's all I've got, guys. Praise God. Amen.